In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our epistle reading, 1 Peter 4 and 5. You may be seated. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. And it's been 43 days since that message was first proclaimed. 43 days since Jesus rose from the dead and we celebrated Easter. Which means it's literally been 3 days since the church celebrated Jesus' ascension into heaven at the Father's right hand. And yet there are still 7 more days. 7 more days until Jesus and the Father pour out the Holy Spirit on the disciples at Pentecost, and they proclaim the excellencies of Christ, who has called them out of darkness into the marvelous light of salvation in a variety of languages at Pentecost. This time then, this in-between time, it is a strange time for the apostles. All they can do is do what Jesus told them in this in-between time. Wait. Wait in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from on high, and then they can go and be his witnesses. And honestly, they didn't know how long they would have to wait. They didn't know how long that it was going to be. So there they were, just waiting. We live our lives after Pentecost. We live in the time that the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the apostles and upon us, upon everyone who is baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. But even in our time, even in our after Pentecost, we too are still waiting. Waiting post-ascension of Jesus and pre-resurrection of all flesh when he returns again in glory. We too, like the apostles, are waiting for the kingdom of God to be revealed before our very eyes. Today, Peter speaks to those Christians who are waiting in between. Christians who are still in the world, but not of the world. Christians who are still waiting for the kingdom of God to be revealed to their eyes. Christians who, in their waiting, need the assurance and the intercession of Jesus because they are suffering. Just as Jesus said, on the night when he was betrayed, in this world you will have trouble. And on the Sermon on the Mount, you will be persecuted and hated by all for my name's sake. And Christians back then, and Christians now, we have a lot of anxiety about that stuff. And we wonder, what should we do with our anxiety about what's happening around us in the world? And what should we do with our anxiety about what's happening in and to us? Now, we are not being persecuted like they were in Peter's day. The only evidence you need of that is where you're sitting, guys, right? You are free to gather here on Sunday morning without fear of death, to receive Jesus in word and sacrament, and then to step out of these doors and proclaim the excellencies of Christ, who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light of salvation. The only evidence you need of that is that, like, Logan's not waiting at the door for me, waiting to arrest me for some speaking of scripture and some truth that I made for some hate speech or something like that. I am free to preach the word of God to you purely in its truth and its excellency. No police waiting for me. Now, I'm not saying that couldn't ever happen, right? I mean, it could. It happened to Christians before in our world. It's happening to certainly many Christians now in Nigeria and various other places. Who knows what the future holds? I don't. But the point of the matter is, right now, we don't face the same persecution that Peter did. But I don't think that changes your anxieties too much, does it? Me telling you that? Yeah, you don't have one extra anxiety, no icing on the cake of all your anxiety, so to speak, but you still have anxiety, don't you? It doesn't change what's happening around you and the anxieties you have from that. And it doesn't change the anxieties that you have in the things that are going on in your life and in the lives of your friends and your neighbors. Those anxieties are real, and those anxieties remain for each and every one of you. So what do you do with those anxieties? Peter says, be humbled. under the mighty hand of your God, so that he may exalt you in his day. Now, I'm not trying to insult anyone's intelligence. I'm making a point here. You all probably already know this. It's pretty easy to go, but bear with me. To be humbled is actually to be lowered down, to see yourself rightly in the lowly position. And to be exalted means that you are lifted up high above the heavens. By casting all your anxieties upon God because he actually cares for you. Those are hard words. Cast your anxieties upon him. Those are hard words because we don't like to be dependent upon anyone or anything, do we, as Americans? Now, our nation has great freedoms, and we've got a lot of great freedoms to enjoy at those who have sacrificed their lives for those freedoms, showing us ultimately the one who sacrificed his life. I'm not saying that. Yes, we are free in this nation. We are independent, and we get to celebrate 250 years of that in July. That's awesome. What a gift from the Lord. But also with a gift comes a little bit of a hindrance that you might not think about. In America, as Americans, we value freedom. We value independence, and we have the day to celebrate it, which literally means we don't like to be dependent on anyone or anything at all. We're hardworking. We're independent North Dakotans, for crying out loud. We don't want to put our anxieties on God then. No, we like to hold on to them. We like to worry about them. We like to wrestle with them a little bit. We like to lose sleep over them. We like to try to figure them out, to plot and plan our lives, calculating three different ways that something goes so we always have a plan of attack should things change. We like to try to figure our lives out and try to fix ourselves. What worries you? What anxieties do you carry around with you? What do you lose sleep over? What do you fixate on? Is it the rising costs of living? Is it an insurmountable, crushing debt? Is it unemployment? Is it the security of your retirement accounts? Is it your grades that are still coming in this semester, or is it your fall ahead? What will that hold for you in school? Is it loneliness? Is it health? Is it the safety of your children and grandchildren as they grow up and they live in a world that looks a little different from the one you first grew up in? Is it your job security? Is it a strained family relationship? Is it what people think about you as you live in Lidgerwood and in North Dakota? Is it whether you will be in heaven or hell? Do you not see that all of your wrestlings, all of your worries, all of your losing sleep, all of your firm belief in yourself, that you just got to try harder to come up with some sort of plan, a grand plan to control and fix your situations in your life? Do you not see that all of those things are the exact opposite of being humbled? They're the exact opposite of humility. That is nothing more than spiritual pride and a failure to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Do you not see your sin and my sin against the first commandment? And that's exactly where the devil wants you. He wants you to trust in yourself. He wants you to hold on to your anxieties. He wants you so fixated and burdened by them. He wants to bury you under the anxieties and worries of this life, to be burdened by them, to be weighed down by them, to be overwhelmed by them. Because as long as you're focused on all that, then you're not focused on this. You're not focused on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. The devil wants to keep you from looking at Jesus. Anywhere but looking at Jesus. So he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And I've been with you for 9.5 years, more than that, almost 10 now. You might get tired of hearing it, but you're going to hear it again. The easiest way to fall prey is to refuse as a Christian to come here and to receive these words, to receive God in word and sacrament, to refuse to be a sheep of God's flock and join with your fellow sheep and hear the voice of your good shepherd calling to you here in this place. But even if you are in this place, what do you do with all your anxieties? Be humbled, Peter says. Recognize your place and confess it. For all of your plotting, for all of your planning, for all of your 360s, and I'm going to find three, five, six different scenarios to be prepared for. For all of your plotting and planning, you cannot control, you cannot guarantee, and you cannot fix your life. You don't get to do that. Be humbled. Cast your anxieties upon Jesus. Throw them at the feet of your God in prayer. Why? Because he actually cares for you. Because his mighty hands were pierced with nails for you. Because his powerful voice he used to pray for you twice. First, on the night when he was betrayed, you heard it moments ago in our gospel reading, "Father, keep them in your name, which you have given to me, that they may be one, even as we are one." And then again on the cross in his own suffering, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Cast your anxieties upon him because in resolute love, he loved you unto death. He didn't come down from that cross. He engraved your name in the palms of his hands. He died for you. He willingly and lovingly laid down his life for you on the cross. And he rose from the dead and he ascended to the Father's right hand so that he could lift you up, exalt you above your anxieties, above your worries, from underneath all your overwhelming anxieties and worries and cares of this life. So Peter says, stand firm in the faith, dear Christian. In the midst of all your anxieties, trust in the Lord. Do not give the devil even one inch. Do not let those things pile up on you. Do not let the guilt and the shame and the inability to deal with your life pile up on you. The devil has no power over you. You don't belong to him. You are marked with the cross of Christ in your baptism. You belong to Jesus, and nothing can overwhelm you because it can't overwhelm him. Not even death. He has mastery over death. The death he died once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. That means nothing and no one can snatch you out of our Lord's hands. Jesus lives, and Jesus reigns for all eternity, and he lives and he reigns even now in your present suffering. He has promised you in this in-between strange time of waiting for his return. He has promised you in the midst of your anxieties and suffering. He will continue to restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you all the days of your life. And then when he returns, there will be no more devil. There will be no more worry. There will be no more anxiety. There will be only the presence of the one who cares for you. Jesus, who has exalted you to the Father's right hand, lifted you up high upon the rock, who exalts you to his blessed side, that you may dwell with him in paradise, in the new creation. Now to him who has, who will, and who will continue to overcome your anxieties brought by sin, death, and the devil, to him alone be dominion forever and ever. Amen.